B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Then, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Felger and Maserati coming to you from, well, half of you from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. I'm coming to you via quarantine in Wellesley, Massachusetts. That's no joke. If you're watching on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, you see me from my palatial couch with Big Jim and Maz back in studio. We are presented by DraftKings. And before we get started, Maz Murray, how you doing?
Good, you?
I'm doing great.
You understand why Maz is muffled? You obviously
yes.
can't see.
Maz has the guy. No, I can see it. Maz has his already has his gas mask on.
Well, can I explain to you exactly what has gone on here?
If you want to, yeah, go ahead.
So when I heard that you were quarantined today, and I know I sound like I'm on a bad cell phone, but you have to deal with it. I sent Alex, the sales minion, over to Home Depot to get me a mask. And he got over there and called me and told me there were actually no masks in stock. They had sold out. So one of our sales guys flew home on a flight and had the eye mask for that they give you when you can sleep on a flight. And I figured I'd make do with that. So I wiped it down and here we go.
Okay. So this is it's not really a gag. Hopefully this is all fun, something we can look back at and laugh at in time. But basically, I'm in Wellesley. You may have read the story out there that about 11:20 today, the Wellesley superintendent of school sent out an email saying a parent of kids who goes to an elementary school in Wellesley and the Wellesley Middle School, the parent tested positive for the COVID-19. And so as a precaution, they emptied out that elementary school and the Wellesley Middle School. It was the parent that tested positive. I don't know if the kids did. There was no indication of that. Just the parent. And so my kid went to that elementary school that was emptied out. And I was ready to come in. I actually emailed you guys, said just to tell you what happened. Do you mind if I come in? I'm set to come in, and our program director called me off. So that's why I'm doing it from my couch. It's as simple as that. And, you know, maybe this is going to be a little bit of the new normal here in the short term.
It does feel that way.
You know, and hopefully it's just an abundance of caution, and that's all that is. It's just an abundance of caution, and nothing comes of it, and we can all look back at this and laugh at Maz's gas mask. But anyway, that's the deal. So I'm coming to you from my couch. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. I still want to talk about the frickin' Bruins last night. I still want to talk about the Brady Watch. I still want to do a show and not carry on about the fact I'm coming to you from my couch. How do you boys feel about that?
Of course.
I'm all for that.
Okay, so that's what we're doing. As usual, agenda-free Fridays are everything we've gotten to from the week or anything we have yet to get to. It's all up to you and your wonderful phone calls. Jimmy, you may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. In the meantime, we have opening thoughts. Who wants to go first?
Murray, go.
Sure. With apologies to Chris Sale, the guy who actually has the worst contract in the city, Gordon Hayward, out tonight with a fake knee injury. It's going to be his 19th game that he's missed this year. And I say fake because I don't believe for a second that it's his knee and that it's actually, in all probability, his foot, which he even admitted back in December, has never been the same since that gruesome injury in Cleveland in his first game that immediately derailed his whole experience here. I also say fake because while I do believe he is struggling with that foot and always will, I do question how much of what he's dealing with is not just in his head, because I don't think it's a stretch to say that Gordon Hayward, since he's been a Celtic, is not exactly a guy that exudes intestinal fortitude anytime he gets dinged up. And so now, for this game, you can't even suit up at home against your former team, the Utah Jazz, who've been playing well, when you can still realistically get the number 2 seed in the East, when it's going to be incredibly important to get that 2 seed if you're going to go on any kind of a deep playoff run this year. It's just, it's soft. It's soft. I think he's soft. It's aggravating. And it's aggravating because when I said around the trade deadline going into it, this is why Danny Ainge should try to move him. This injury thing is not going to go away with Gordon Hayward. It's only going to get worse. And so now I just pray that he opts out. I don't think that he will, But I just hope he opts out. And on a lighter note, congrats on finally getting a boy, because it seemed like they were just going to keep making kids until they got one.
Okay, Maz.
Okay, so I want to start with Trent Williams, who has been given the right by the Washington Redskins to seek a trade finally, has 1 year remaining on his contract. And we talked about this yesterday, Mike. You brought it up, that Greg Bedard indicated in one of his columns earlier in the week that the Patriots might be on the verge of a significant trade between now and the start of free agency that would significantly affect the Tom Brady negotiations in some way, meaning that there was to be a deal that would change Brady's mind about New England or entice him to come back to New England. And to me, I think Trent Williams qualifies. Okay. And I'll tell you what, the more I think about it, I think the Patriots should do it either way. Because the fact is, let's say Brady goes. The biggest problem on the team last year was the offensive line. That was the number one biggest problem on the Patriots. And not just because it didn't work in the passing game. They couldn't run the ball either. So let's say Jarrett Stidham's the quarterback. I still want Trent Williams. I want him at left tackle. I would kick Isaiah Wynn inside. I would beef up the left side of that line. And then at the very least, maybe I can run the ball again. No matter what, I think they need to reinforce that offensive line, and a good way to do it is with a franchise left tackle. So maybe they have to renegotiate with Williams. They got to restructure the contract. Maybe they tack on a year or two. I don't know what the answer is. I'm just telling you that I think still he's a perfect fit, and I think he's a perfect fit with or without Tom Brady.
You want to pay him 12 and a half?
So I told you I'd like to restructure, but what's a left tackle going for on the market right now?
Oh, more than that.
So that's not a bad deal. Not a bad deal for that position. More than they would typically like to pay, I think. But if they lose Brady, they'll have some money to burn on other spots. And I still think a guy like him at 12 and a half is a good deal.
Okay. Mass's opening thought on Trent Williams and the Patriots roster. I want to talk some Bruins. I think there's some talking points from that game last night. The beat goes on for that team. Not their greatest game, but another win. I want to talk about Bergeron's 30 goals and the role that Bruce Cassidy has played in that. I want to talk about the fight that Richie had. Did you see that fight? He tuned that guy up. I liked that. How about the play of Yaroslav Halak? I've been saying all year that I feel differently about their goaltending situation this year because it's really Tuukka and not really that second line of defense there. But the way Halak has played since the break, I think we're back to if Tuukka poopas in the postseason, we might have the other guy available as well. I wasn't feeling that for much of the year, but Halak has been terrific. And I want to talk about the elbow to the head of Brandon Carlo. I think Jack Edwards has called 911. I think he has summoned Parliament up in Canada to look at, is it Dadonov? How do you pronounce that name? Have him arrested. So I want to talk about all those things, but as usual, I want to defer to the callers and get some calls in this first segment. We'll fully flush out those Bruins things here coming up. Mass, I haven't logged into the call screen yet. Can you pull up a call or two?
Absolutely, I can. Yep, and we can kick it off with Joe in Danvers, who I think has hard evidence on Brady going to San Francisco. Go ahead, Joe.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Can you hear me? All right, Tony, happy Friday, man. I got some news. I am out here in L.A., and the word on the street is San Fran, and it's because his watch sponsor, IWC, is putting out a big campaign for him to come home, and it's going to get your money ready to buy that watch.
Okay, I got to let you go. Boy, that connection is garbage.
Please.
Oh, God, was that awful. So did you hear that, Mike?
Yes, a watch endorsement or something?
Yes, IWC wants to bring him home. You put any stock in that?
Sure, I put stock in everything. I put stock in every single thing that has been said or reported or rumored. I love it. I love it 100 times over. And if you're sick of it, I can't help you. I can't help you. I'm not. I'm going to buy what this guy's saying. I'm going to buy what everyone's saying. Everyone has a chance to be right. Everyone has a chance to be wrong. And I'm buying all of it. And isn't it great that we're this close? We're effing 12 days, 10 days, if you consider the tampering period, and no one knows. No one freaking knows. And you know what? I'll give Brady credit for this. He's done a great job of keeping the real story under wraps. He's got people running all over the place, chasing all sorts of stuff. Some of it's probably real. Some of it's probably not. And he isn't telling anyone. I think he's done a great job of that, Maz.
Oh, look, no question. Again, and the fact that he's now sort of going dark, if that's the way you look at it, for the next 10 days, that's only going to heighten the, you know, the intrigue if they can completely, you know, ignore calls and everything else here and really let this thing ramp up. If I were him right now, I'd go on information blackout. That's what I'd do. Everything up to now, I'd go completely information blackout. Don't return anybody's calls. Let all the speculation get fueled and then see where it is on the 16th.
So, Maz, I mean, you've been through a lot of these through the years. So have I. These big contracts, and this is as big as it gets. And it's following all the stuff that I love. You know, I think the reporters that are covering it are sort of, you know, now they're sort of little infighting and snipping between the reporters from each of the camps, protecting their turf and protecting their stories. I love it, especially since I'm not involved in it. I can just sit back here from my quarantine in Wellesley and, like, pick at both sides. I love the fact, you hear the thing, Maz heard it this morning, and we'll play it for you coming up. There's now a mystery team. That's when you know it's for real, Maz, when you get mystery teams involved in this stuff. Like, this has all the earmarkings of one of these classic, you know, free agent stories that goes all over the place, and I love every freaking minute of it.
So, oldest trick in the book, the mystery team.
You knew this was coming.
Right? The mystery team. And more often than not, the mystery team is complete bunk. Usually there is no mystery team. It's just some sort of something that an agent creates up to creates out of thin air to get leverage. But it's not totally unprecedented. Every once in a while, there is a team that comes out of the woodwork. Right.
Like, for example, move happens, you're like, whoa, I didn't see that happen.
Right. Literally at like the last minute or two. You know, I say last day or two. And, I go back. The biggest one I did at the beginning, Mike, was Clemens. When Roger Clemens, and nobody had Toronto. Nobody had Toronto, and he ended up going to Toronto, and we all found out at the last minute. Okay, it was within the last couple of days that all of a sudden Toronto started to leak. So I don't know whether Brady has one or not, although, and I'm curious.
So you're saying sometimes the mystery team actually does exist?
Yeah, rarely, but yes. Sometimes the mystery team does exist. That there's a scenario going on that we know nothing about, that somebody with a quarterback has just found out. Like, let's just use Indy last year as an example. The Colts know that Andrew Luck is actually going to retire and they need a quarterback, and nobody knows that they need a quarterback. So it's something, you know, it have to be something like that. But I am eager to hear, because I have a developing opinion when it comes to the whole Brady thing, about how much leverage you think Brady really has right now.
Save it. We'll get to it later. Give me another call.
Okay, fine. Let's go to Frank the Tank, who wants to talk about the Bruins. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, look, you know, other than the usual suspects on the Bruins, you know, I'm still a little worried about some secondary scoring help. I don't know what Tasha is going to become. It's kind of in the back of my mind. It just worries me come playoff time. That fight last night, I mean, that is the definition of here, eat my right hand.
Nice.
It was great seeing the Florida player in the penalty box touching his eye because he knew that he just got his ass kicked. Look, the elbow, Mike, I thought that was a sneaky, dirty play by the Florida player.
Should we call 911? Should we have him arrested?
God, no. I mean, come on.
I mean, let's calm down, shall we? Right. It was an elbow.
Yeah. Jack went overboard like he usually does. I mean, but still, sneaky, dirty play by him. I do expect the league to take a look at it. But in terms of the, I mean, they're playing really, really well right now. I like the team chemistry that they've got going on. But I'm still worried about that secondary scoring, Mike, so I was wondering what you thought of that.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Thanks for calling in, Frank. Yes, absolutely. I mean, I like Charlie Coyle. I like what I've seen from Kashe. I think he's got a nice, subtle game, but that doesn't mean he puts the puck in the net. Jake DeBrusk is always, you know, that close to going 2 weeks without doing a single thing, without leaking a drop. So, absolutely. Bjork just, you know, came back into the lineup after disappearing, so you absolutely should be concerned. I don't think the Bruins, scoring-wise, are as deep as teams like Washington or Tampa without even getting to out west. So that you absolutely should be concerned. Other than that, though, I think you should feel pretty good about the team. And I think, you know, last night, even though, like, that's a game they should lose. They weren't that great. Florida needed it a lot more. It was sort of sandwiched between these two big games against Tampa. Like, that's, you know, you're in South Beach. Like, that's a game you sort of give away, and they don't. They just refuse to give much away. And they continue to impress me, and it scares me how much I'm buying in. Scares me. All right, we're off and running on an agenda-free Friday, presented by the Bernardi Auto Group. Back with your phones right after this.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
You hear all these other guys that are from Boston, from Wahlberg to Damon, Affleck, literally all these Boston guys that have been trying to talk to Brady to find out where he's going. Tom Brady's cousin works here. He's one of the matchmakers here at the UFC. Brady isn't saying anything to anybody, and he is a true pro, and who knows? We'll see.
Do you worry about you ever being able to step foot in Boston again after this nonsense?
Listen, you know who called me this morning?
Who?
Bob Kraft.
What
was
he
not happy
say?
With me.
Yeah.
Was not happy with me.
That's.
And I said, Mr. Kraft. Now, I said I want him to stay in Boston, but if Boston doesn't work out, I want him to come in Vegas. And, yeah, he was not happy with me. This thing is being blown out of proportion. I am being falsely accused here.
All right, that's Dana White with the lovely, what did I just forget the lovely's name?
Katie Nolan.
Katie Nolan with the lovely Katie Nolan. So two things there. One is, can you believe Kraft calls him after he pitches Brady on Vegas the other day? Do you think that's just a joke? Do you think this is just like this fancy guys club, this rich guy, fancy, famous guy club sort of busting each other's nuts? Or does Robert call him to say, easy with that? Or what? Is it just a jokey thing, Maz, or is there something there to read into?
So I think he called him up and probably delivered it in a jokey way, like, Dana, what are you doing? Yeah, you're trying to bust our chops? But there was something behind it. That's what I think. Most of that joke stuff, like when someone's busting someone's chops, part of the reason it's funny, as someone said to me, is because it's true. So I'd be willing to bet that he was a little pissed at Dana White and says, oh, I'm going to call up and bust his balls this morning just to let him know I heard it. Something like that.
So the second thing is that Brady's cousin works for UFC, and now we're sort of seeing that you know, what's that connection? Why is Brady and Dana White up each other's keisters so much? And now I think we see why. You know, Brady's cousin works for him. But Brady's cousin isn't saying anything or doesn't know anything. And this goes back to something I said in that first segment, Maz. Brady's done a really good job of keeping this under wraps. When Brady went to Syracuse last week, one of the guys that sort of set it up and chaperoned him, I have sort of a loose connection with. Like, I know a friend of a friend. And so, of course, I pumped my friend of a friend. Give me some scoop. What's going on? And the guy says, under wraps, totally under wraps. And I just think, you know, as much as Brady's camp is spilling some stuff and letting us know and maybe, you know, planting some false flags or expressing frustration over this or that, clearly people in Brady's camp are talking. I think we know that. If there's a real plan, he's kept it under wraps. And I think that's kind of cool. Like, it's led to a good story.
Well, and it's also the most effective way to do it. Because, you know, information is power. And so the least information that you can give and maintain your control over the situation is the best way to do it.
Okay, it's an agenda-free Friday. I'm coming to you via quarantine in Wellesley. That's no joke. And we get back to your phones on everything. Cam and Taunton on Murray's opening take of Gordon Hayward. Go ahead, Cam.
I wanted to pop off about this for a few days now. Like, I'm starting to question this guy's engagement. I really am. And I say this on multiple levels. A, I don't think Tice hit him that hard on Tuesday nights. I'm sure it hurt. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't that hard of a contact. And B, they left straight from the building the other night to the airport, meaning he was planning to go to Cleveland. Then all of a sudden, he's not in Cleveland. What changed? You can't go be with your team to be on the bench that night? And also, there's this, too. Look at his reaction from the Brown buzzer beater Saturday night. Tatum and Tice lose it, and they're hugging Brown. Smart's running up the court yelling. Hayward did nothing. He turned around and walked back to the bench. I don't think this guy's engaged. And Murray, he doesn't suffer from a foot injury. He suffers from lack of saconitis. He's just like, he's not engaged.
Go ahead, Murray.
I just don't think he is a mentally tough player, and maybe that's an after effect of that injury that happened now a couple of years ago. And I don't know if he was like that in Utah, and he just based on highlights and any times you saw him with the Utah Jazz or play against the Celtics, like, I don't know. I never noticed any of that kind of stuff. So maybe it's a residual after effect after that injury, and I do think that he will continue to deal with the after effect with that foot. But like he just said, like Cam just said, like, Tice didn't hit him that hard, so is it the knee? It just seems like any time he's dinged up, he's out. This will be his 19th game he's missed this year. 19? That's ridiculous.
Okay, Gender Free Friday continues. Matt in Framingham on the Red Sox. Hi, Matt.
Hi. In honor of Tom and Quincy, who's my new favorite Belgrade Mass caller, I want to make a personal statement to the Red Sox. Just because you do not care at all about this season, as it's been so blatantly obvious, do us in the world a favor. Start selling off pieces. Start selling off the guys like Jackie Bradley, Andrew Benintendi, Brandon Workman, and the rest of the people that you can find to improve your farm system. Because the bottom line is, your plan is so obvious. Stop lying to us and start selling now.
Your thoughts, Maz?
So I don't want them to sell off. I think, you know, the problem with this year from the perspective of fans is that they feel caught in between. So it's the bridge year. It's the dreaded bridge year where you have enough talent to sort of, you know, that's worth keeping, but you have not enough to win the championship, which everybody knows. So how do you, you know, people just don't want to wait. They get impatient and they say, I don't want to give away a year. So if you're going to do this, start all over. To me, the guys that this is hardest for, people like Bogarts. So Bogarts just signed what was a 6-year deal, but he's got an out after 3. Cora just got fired, whom Bogarts was close to. So as Bogarts look at this whole thing and say, this sucks, you traded Mookie, you traded Price, Cora got fired, now Sale's hurt, like, I gotta waste one of my years here for this is what I gotta do? So if I'm the Red Sox, I'm cognizant of that. And I'm trying to do everything I can to appease Xander Bogaerts, because the last thing you want to do is have that guy wake up in July and say, we suck, trade me. Seriously, like, that's a concern.
Yeah, but to me, this, you know, we've talked about this overall, Maz, the dismantling thing is pointless because you're not going to go to the bottom of the league.
Correct.
I mean, you can dismantle and there's still going to be 6, 7, 8 teams just in the American League who are worse than you. You can't dismantle to the point where you're going to get a high draft pick. And even if you get the high draft pick, baseball doesn't work like the NBA where you get Zion Williamson. So it's just sort of, you mentioned it the other day, the way to tank in baseball is to do it over a 5-year period.
Correct.
And the Sox aren't going to do that.
No shot. They won't do it for one.
That whole dismantling thing is kind of useless. Mike and Everett with a thought on the Bruins. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Who would you guys rather in Game 7, Halak or Rask? I would say Halak. And this new guy, Richie, is making a big statement. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, well, I know he loved win Bruins fans over last night. He freaking pummeled that dude. Oh, my God. It was beautiful. It was like in slow motion, too.
You know, it was his first fight of the year.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, first fight of the year.
Well, do it more often. You big galoot. Yeah, be out of shape and lumbering around out there. At least grab someone. Give him that right. Whew. Oh, I like that. That was nice. He lit him up. So, yeah, I mean, this is what I'm talking about with, you know, the difference between him and Danton Heinen. They both might suck. They both might be useless. But at least give me that. You know, I think there's some value to that. And maybe if this Richie can get in shape, maybe he can give you a little, you know, even a little bit more. Back to the Halak thing, I'm not doing that. I'm telling you, Rask is going to win Game 7 this year if he gets there. If he gets there. But the way Halak has played here in the second half, it just, I love it because I think you have that option now. You know, last year you absolutely had that option where if Tuukka, you know, faltered in the playoffs, Cassidy, without hesitation, I think would have gone to Halak. And the way Halak played in that first half, I thought that was sort of off the table, and I think he's playing his way back into it, Mass. I think that's important.
So, look, again, I'll take as many good goalies on a team as you can get. It gives you options at the very least. But if you're asking me right now, Tuukka's good. He's good. I'm not telling, like, I didn't like Game 7 last year either, but in the last year and a half, and I'm, you know, he didn't start out great last year, so call it the last year. Okay, he's been really good.
Yep.
I think he's played the best hockey of his career in the last year.
I still don't trust him in that moment. So
okay, but you're not going to bench him, are you, Murray?
No, of course not. No, but he lets in, like, you know, what's that first goal look like that he gives up? I'd be quick with that hook.
Yeah, there's nothing to do but ride Tuca and just hope this time he comes through. That's it. Agenda Free Friday continues. More on the Bruins after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mere cup, but you are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Great Shield dig down for the faceoff, right circle, the Panthers. And here we go. It's going to be a dust up here between Riley Stillman along with Nick Ritchie. Ritchie fighting right-handed. Fires a couple of right hands. Ritchie a right. Ritchie a right that missed. Ritchie a right. Stillman a right. Ritchie a right. Ritchie a right. And then he buried him with a light right hand.
Well, Ritchie, if I'm not mistaken, his first fight of the year, but I've heard from several people that talk about him and say, look, this guy, he's for real.
Wow, Ritchie.
Oh, he labeled him with a couple of right crosses and then pummeled him right at the end.
Boy, did it. Nick Ritchie lit that guy up. So, yeah, call me a Neanderthal. Call me a simpleton. I like a good fight, Maz. Sorry. Does it help you win a hockey game or not? Debatable. I don't know. With the Bruins, it was, I think they might have been down 1-0 at the time. Maybe it was 0-0. Either way, that could have been an easy, sleepy game for them, one that they just sort of mail in, sandwiched between the two Tampa games. And instead, they gut it out, and they have a big fight in the middle of it. And so, yeah, call me crazy. I like that kind of crap. That's just the way I'm wired.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it.
I don't think it is debatable. Sometimes it can help you win a game, like it did when Krejci fought last week against Dallas.
Okay, so that's one of the things to hit on. Well, let me just do this because there's a call that says they are concerned about the Bruins' physicality. Here is, I just pressed the wrong button. Kevin calls back. I'm sorry about that. His comment line said he's concerned about their physicality. Maz, outside of the fight, should Bruins fans be concerned about the team's physicality?
I mean, I think yes against certain teams. So look, I like what I've seen from Ritchie after that first game. The first game, I thought he was completely, totally useless. But again, since then, it's been better. And last night, for a guy who again, it was his first fight of the year, he does look like he knows how to fight. So I don't know much about the guy he fought. Maybe you can tell me whether that guy's a fighter or not. Okay.
No,
okay. So, like, sometimes it's hard to gauge if you get a wuss on the other side and you beat his head in.
Let's say he's a wuss. At least he beat his head in.
Yeah. And so, what I like is I look at him at the very least as being sort of now their Patrick Maroon. Okay. Like, he can be that sort of presence physically. Now, I don't know if he's as good as Maroon or not. I'm still worried, though, that in certain matchups, Mike, they don't have enough. So, if it's Washington or if it's Tampa and the Blues, let alone if it's all three. Like, if it's all three, I don't think they can run that gauntlet and win.
Well, they're not going to be the more physical team. The question is, do they have just enough that they can withstand whatever they have to withstand and still win? I mean, cripes, Maz, you've been big on this.
Yes.
Throughout our childhood, through all our whole lives, the Bruins have usually been the tougher team. What has it done them? And what has it done for them historically?
So true. Again, but I also think there's a happy medium in there. And last year, they ran into some giants in the Blues who were able to push them around. I also think that the playoffs are a little bit different. You need both. So I feel better about them now than I did a year ago. I'll tell you that. Even if it's just for Ritchie. And I would also say that, you know, there are some guys that I do look at a little differently and feel like they are a little more rugged than maybe I gave them credit for. But I still worry about the size. Yes, I do. I think if they go against some of these teams, they're going to have a problem.
Mark in Medford, your thoughts.
The more I see the replay of the Dadonov elbow on Carlo, the more I come to the conclusion that he knew exactly what the hell he was doing. And number two, I'm not as concerned about the physicality as I was last year. The Bruins look like they're sending a message saying, yeah, you poked the bear last year, but the bear's out of hibernation this year. We're going to poke back.
Okay, yeah, I feel they do have a little more than they did last year as well. I do.
on the elbow, all right? Yeah, I think it was intentional too. I think it was a cheap, dirty little play. But can we, you know, can we not call 911? Can we not try and summon Parliament to try and get violence out of hockey? Like, you know, as if we're like Montreal fans. It was an elbow. It was an elbow to the head. And as far as I know, elbowing for 2 minutes is still on the books. Okay? So elbowing is pretty much always to the head. So unless you want to make every elbow to the head, unless you want to eliminate the elbowing penalty, you know what I mean? And just make everything hit to the head, 5 minute major, game misconduct, reviewable by player safety, etc. There is still room in the game under the rules for a 2 minute elbow. And to me, that was borderline. I think it was intentional, but it's not like he took a running, you know, took a running jump at Carlo. It was one of those cheap little things that back in the day guys used to do all the time to keep you off your back as you're heading into the boards. So give him the penalty. If it was 5 minutes, that would have been fine. If it was 2 minutes, I'm not going to lose my mind. But I'm to listen to Jack, it's like, oh my God, are we going to picket the Florida Panthers now? Like, oh my God, call 911 and let's summon Congress and start looking at violence in hockey. It's like, please, let's not slip into that. Let Montreal be that. And let's be something else. Let's be able to handle a little elbow in the corner. And I don't mean to say little. Like, if he's hurt, that sucks. And if he's concussed, it sucks. But, oh, my God, the caterwauling. I think it's unbecoming, Maz. I think it's unbecoming of a Bruins fan or broadcaster to carry on like that over an elbow.
Okay, so look, I didn't like the way Jack responded to it either, Mike. But it was dirty. I have no doubt that it was dirty and it was intentional. So now again, what happens from it? Fine. Whether it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes, to me, it felt like it warrants discipline. And I admit the fact that it is one of their bigger defensemen and one of their better defensive defensemen probably has my back up a little bit because I feel like they're vulnerable there. But I thought, if you're asking me objectively, and I'm not calling for the guy to be sent to jail or anything stupid like that. Right. I mean, let's not give him the Ted Sarandis death penalty for crying out loud.
Thank you.
But to me, it was absolutely the thing that made it, I think, more jarring than your typical two guys going in the corner and a guy elbows a guy in the side of the head. He hit him straight in the middle of the face with it. Like, to me, and so almost like an uppercut punch. Like, that's what made it more egregious than some of the others. I don't know how Murray feels.
Well, it was, to me, it was dirty, it was intentional, but I ain't calling 911. And no team that employs Brad Marchand, I think, has the right to take that sort of moral high ground stance. Okay? It's hockey. It's the NHL. You have Marchand on your team. Enough said. All right? One more Bruins point that I just wanted to make is Bergeron's 30 goals. And I think of all the things, Bergeron got his 30th last night, of all the things that Bruce Cassidy has done and all the great changes he's made since Claude Julien left is he's turned Patrice Bergeron back into an offensive player and treated him as an offensive player and unlocked Patrice Bergeron as an offensive player. And I think Claude slipped too much, as he did pretty much throughout his whole roster, but slipped too much into using Patrice Bergeron just as a defensive stalwart and a defensive zone guy and sort of didn't get the most out of Bergeron offensively. Cassidy, just the opposite. He's the prime power play guy, offensive zone starts. That whole thing has flipped on its ear since Cassidy got here. Patrice Bergeron has now three straight 30-goal seasons under Cassidy after having only two in the previous nine-plus seasons under Claude Julien. And yes, there was some injuries in there. That big concussion that Bergeron suffered was certainly a factor. But if you want to go a little advanced metrics here, Maz, if you just want to go goals per game and points per game, it's night and day. It's really night and day. Here are Patrice Bergeron's goals per game under Claude Julien. Ready? Starting in 07-08. Goals per game. 0.3, 0.1, 0.26, 0.28, 0.27, 0.24, 0.38, 0.28, 0.40, 0.27. And those are his goal, you know, never over half a goal a game. Under Bruce Cassidy, and I'm sorry, the last one was under Cassidy, 0.47, 0.49, 0.51. They've changed dramatically. And I'll do the same thing with points per game. I won't bore you with all those numbers, but they've gone up dramatically under Bruce Cassidy. And again, I think of all the things that Cassidy has done, this is one of the most important. He's made Bergeron, once again, an offensive weapon, which I think was not always the case under Claude Julien.
No, it's a good point. Again, I just did the quick math in 3 full years. 188 games, 197 points.
Okay, he was not. He did not have that kind of production under Claude Julien, and I don't think it's coincidence. And it's not all about the injury; it's about the style of coaching, and it's about how you utilize that player. And Cassidy, you know, Claude Julien sort of had this thing about two-way players, but you know what that always really meant to Claude? Defensive zone.
Yep. You know, defense first.
Yeah. That's what his idea of a two-way player and a three-zone player was, someone who's good on defense, forgetting what he did on offense. The definition of a three-zone player, Claude, is someone who also is scoring and set up to score. That's a three-zone player. And I think Bruce Cassidy has turned or gotten Bergeron back to being a true three-zone player, where I think Claude was really just worried about the first two zones. So there are my Bruins thoughts. What are yours? We continue on Agenda Free Friday. Call us on whatever. It's Felger via quarantine. In Wellesley, we got Maz and Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios, and we continue with your calls right after this.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Carlo goes down after a collision with Dadonov. And hearts skip a beat in Boston.
We have a major penalty that's been assessed. It'll now be reviewed.
Folks. Intent. Not only was the principal point of contact the head, the only point of contact was the head.
Hockmar. After video review, we're calling the ice, we have a minor penalty for elbowing.
Oh my
2 minutes.
Goodness.
Elbow.
That's elbowing. Well, he certainly got his 2 minutes worth. Checks to see it's Carlo. Bang! Right in the nose. And I'm sure the Department of Player Safety will say, well, 2 minute penalty. Crude shot and scores! Patrice Bergeron with his 30th. For the fifth time in his career, Bergeron reaches the 30 goal plateau, and that's how you answer an intentional elbow to the head.
I mean, I like Jack. I love his passion for the game. It's great that we have someone who's that passionate about it. I just can't get past the hometown stuff, Maz. You know me. I'm hung up on it. You've got Brad Marchand on this team. Like, please. And, you know, I feel bad for Carlo if he's got another head injury or something like that. I don't condone that sort of play. And I thought it was intentional. I thought it was dirty. But let's not call 911, please. Let's not. But Jack just can't let it go. Did you watch the overtime of that game last night, by the way?
Oh, my God, unreal.
Was that tremendous?
Yeah, I told you, to me, that's like one of the best things in sports, is the 3-on-3 overtime. It's awesome.
And, you know, sometimes it gets a little sleepy, but that one was, oh, my God, it was great. Up and down the ice, and at one point, Dadonov's stick breaks. So the guy that laid the elbow on Carlo, his stick broke on a play, and Jack just couldn't help himself. Go ahead.
McAvoy tries to sweep it away. Matheson to Hoffman. He closes to Dadonov. Hockey gods must have been elbowed.
He can't let it go. I love it. All right. So anyway, Bruins thoughts, Patriots thoughts, whatever. It's Agenda Free Friday. It's all up to you, as usual. Here's Johnny in the car on the Bees. Go ahead, Johnny.
Mikey, I think we really got to start showing this team some love and quit with the Brady nonsense and all the gossip. It's getting sickening. But that being said, I think this kid Lozon, he's playing his way into the lineup. He's made a few shutdown plays. He's a big, strong, physical kid, and I really like the way he's matching up with Grizz on that third defensive pair.
Yep.
Go ahead, Maz.
I love him. I do. The more I watch him, the more I like him, and I do. I, you know what? I mean, I always put a premium on defense. I'm like the Claude Julien of this show, for crying out loud. I like the particularly in the defenseman. You can't have a defenseman who sucks in his own end unless he can produce like 60 points. Okay, you just can't have it. And I think it's, you know, I still believe in the size back there, especially. So to me, a guy like Lauzon can mitigate the loss of Kevin Miller.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Since he's come up, have you heard anyone say, man, they miss someone like Kevin Miller? We can't wait till Kevin Miller comes back. And his career might be over, but since he's come up, like, I haven't thought twice about that.
No. Yeah, and so, you know, I look at it and I say, the puck moving, the offense, of course you want it. Yes, I want that to develop. No two ways about it. But in his own zone, that kid's a bull. He's a bull. I love him.
We continue with your thoughts. Murray's opening take was on Gordon Hayward and his softness. Chet in Somerville wants to weigh in. Hi, Chet.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So I agree with Murray. I think his mental toughness is gone. And one of my biggest problems with Hayward, as well as with Green Teamers, is that he's going to go out for a few nights, and then when he comes back and has a big game, everyone's going to be patting him on the back. Hayward wasn't some second-round draft pick. He wasn't a guy you picked up overseas. He was your marquee free agent, so I'm sick of giving this guy a pass every time he plays okay. And even the games where he plays aggressive, like the Utah game, I mean, geez, this guy's jump shot's more broke than the condoms he's using with Rob.
So, you know, how do you feel about sending him to the bench? They have an issue with bench scoring. And, oh, by the way, oh, you see Gary Washburn?
Yeah.
Write about how the Celtics might need some bench scoring, and the options are still there, and Vincent Poirier could be the odd man out.
Yeah, the headline, move on from Vincent Poirier. Somewhere Danny Ainge gasped when he saw
that. Gary, don't you understand? There's no room on the roster. There's no player out there that makes sense. Have you been listening to the Green Team media and the Celtics callers? There's no room on the roster, and there's no one. Hey, who's going to make him better? Who's going to make him better? So why make the move? Come on, Gary. Haven't you been paying attention? Please. But how about sending Hayward to the bench and get him against some backups, and maybe, you know, he can score when he gets hot. Is that something you would consider?
I would love that, but they won't because of the optics of it. They would never do that because, like the caller just said, this is a max contract free agent. They will never do it, and I don't think Brad Stevens would want to let it happen either because that's his guy.
Oh, I would totally do it. The only reason not to do it is that you feel the other guys in that first unit benefit from his, you know, his game instincts. In other words, his ability
to
find.
Does Tatum need Hayward out there? Does Tatum need Hayward's game instincts?
No, it doesn't feel like it, but I also think that in the playoffs, you never know. So that when guys actually start playing defense, is Hayward the kind of guy that'll find open men and get him good shots? And so, I'm not telling you I believe it. I'm just telling you I don't know. I don't know. That's the only reason to keep him in there.
Okay, let's grab Scott in Southie. He's up next on the Bruins. Jimmy, I think I may have froze a little bit. Line six, Scott in Southie. Go ahead, Scott.
How are you, Felger? Can you hear me?
What do you got? Yep.
Hey, real quick. So just talking about last night's game and the Bruins' first round. Did you think that the Panthers looked like a pretty scary matchup for the Bruins if they were to face them in the first round? They're only a few points out.
Yeah.
It looked like we were kind of a little bit outmatched with speed, and especially forechecking.
If you lose to the Florida Panthers, Scott, I will disown the Bruins for the rest of my radio career. I'm sorry. They're just not a team that's skating around with Frank Vetrano, and you can let him go, Jimmy. Thank you. Thanks, Scott. With Frank Vetrano, Connolly, like, how much old Bruins crap are you going to have skating around on that team? Yeah, they gave him a game last night because I think the Bruins, that was sort of a sandwich game for the Bruins. In between the two Tampa games, who knows, man, in South Beach for the last couple nights. I mean, that's sort of I'm sort of impressed the Bruins, you know, eked it out because that's a game that could easily sort of, you know, scheduled loss, one of those things. And Florida's fighting for their lives. And Florida's got decent talent. So, but they shouldn't scare you as a first-round opponent. If that team's going to clip you, then forget about it. The thing you have to be worried about is, and you should be worried about everything. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs, but you'll be the one, so you'll face an 8 seed, which means you'll probably face those wild card teams from the other division.
Right.
And who knows? Maybe one of them gets hot to get into the postseason in the first place. So maybe you have a Columbus team or a Carolina team that's won, you know, I'm just making this up, 9 of 10 and playing through their boobs to make the playoffs, and they have all this momentum and they're playing the right way, and you're sort of, you've been in this holding pattern and you get nipped
Like, I mean, that's how that happens in that sport. So that's something you have to guard against. But don't tell me that they're going to lose Game 7 the way they lost last year and then have the kind of season they had this year and lose to a team like that. Don't tell me that's going to happen.
That would be Tampa-esque, for crying out loud, if they went down like that. And I look at it, I also look at it, what kind of road does it create for everyone else? And I would rather have Tampa play in Toronto. I'm not telling you I think Toronto's going to beat Tampa. But I'll take the shot. I'll take the shot that someone can get picked off and, you know, maybe you get an easier road.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts on Agenda Free Friday. Again, I'm coming to you via quarantine in Wellesley. No joke, my kid was pulled out of elementary school today because a parent of a kid at her school tested positive for the coronavirus. So out of caution, they pulled all the kids out of school. And so when I told our program director about this, he said, stay home. So I'm home. Murray and Maz are from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. We continue with your calls on Agenda Free Friday presented by the Bernardi Auto Group. I have free tickets for you coming up next segment as well. There are no commercials here, just an update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.